Hello, this is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. If you want to listen to us online, go to the website, kptz.org. You can listen to today's show online. You can also sample some of the earlier shows, which are up there as podcasts. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Hear today's show and some earlier ones, too. I'm Mary Ann McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are the guys washing down the windows and sliding glass doors at Safeway? Who's that woman setting up the beer at the poorhouse? There are several pest control trucks cruising around town, but there's still a lot of unwelcome wildlife out there. Who do you call when the raccoon family takes up residency under your deck? Ghostbusters? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens, lawyers and ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the soaring eagles. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today's guest is Andy Okenzik, who will be installed as the commander of the American Legion Post here in Port Townsend on July 20th. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you, Marianne.
I usually start the show by asking people where they came from. Were you born and bred in Port Townsend?
No, actually I was bred in Italy and I was born in England.
I see.
I came to Canada from there and then I emigrated to the U.S. and lived in Seattle.
How old were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was 16. I finished high school in Seattle.
And then what?
And then I did a couple of jobs. A year later, I got drafted and went into the U.S. Army.
Wow. But you weren't an American citizen at that point. Tell me how that works.
That's not a requirement. If you're a landed immigrant, back in the days when we had draft, if you were a landed legal immigrant, you were eligible for the draft. And that's how I ended up there.
Yeah. I'm not sure everyone knows the term landed immigrant, which is actually the correct term. People say green card, even though there really isn't a green card, right?
Well, actually, there was a green card at one point. I'm not sure what color the card is today, but I did carry a card that was a laminated green card.
Really?
It looked about the size of a credit card with my picture on it.
Huh, interesting. So you were in the service during the Vietnam era. Did you end up having to go to Vietnam?
I missed out on Vietnam.
Poor boy.
Not at all. I don't envy any Vietnam vet their time over there. I spent my overseas time was actually 3 months over in Korea where nobody knew why I was there, including myself. I went over there with 30 other people and fortunately went in the summer.
Well, so what did you do when you were in the military? What was your line of work?
I was actually being a battery control central mechanic with a Hawk missile system, which basically meant that I worked on radars and control systems for Hawk missile, which was a surface-to-air missile.
Are those the kind of skills that transitioned into the real world?
Oh, absolutely. This particular skill I parlayed into a 35-year career in the telecommunications industry.
Amazing. And so the telecommunications industry has been through a lot of transition, let's call it, over the past couple of decades. Did you end up working for the same company or multiple companies?
I never changed employers. That is to say, I never put in job applications for a different job, but I worked for Pacific Northwest Bell, U.S. West, then Quest, and shortly after I left Quest, it got absorbed by CenturyLink Communications.
Wow. So you didn't change, they did.
So to speak, yeah. My job responsibilities changed, not necessarily in sync with what the company changes were, but my job responsibilities absolutely changed.
When you retired, you were working in Seattle and living in the Seattle region. How did you end up here in Port Townsend?
Well, I was fortunate enough that my wife was still working for the state, and she had a job opportunity over here, so she transferred. She was, at that time, she was working in Tacoma. We were living in Burien. We ended up living a 10-minute commute away from her job by foot.
Had you been to Port Townsend in the past? Is this an area you knew well?
Oh, yes. I'd been to Port Townsend in the 70s and 80s and coming over to Fort Worden and Fort Flagler primarily with my kids. And it was kind of an impossible dream to ever move over here.
Yeah, it's hard to find jobs here.
Absolutely.
That's a difficult thing. Well, you're about to take over as commander of the American Legion. Now, many people in Port Townsend pass the American Legion on Water Street all the time, but they don't know too much about it. So, Andy, before we get into what the American Legion does here in Port Townsend and what goes on behind those whitewashed walls, I'd like to give a little bit of background about the organization nationally. Yes, I researched this. Our listeners are familiar with the Legion generally, but they don't really know what it is. The American Legion was officially born, or technically chartered by Congress, back in 1919. It was originally called a Patriotic Veterans Organization. Fast forward, this patriotic organization is now almost 100 years old. The original group of vets were war-weary survivors of World War I. Over the years, that little group grew to become one of the most influential nonprofit groups in the United States. Today, there are over 14,000 posts throughout the country with well over 2 million members. The American Legion has always had a strong social component. It is a club, after all. But it's much more than a local watering hole for veterans. Think of it. Without the American Legion, there might not be any VA, or Veterans Administration, as everyone calls it, the VA. During the 1920s, the Legion steadily lobbied Congress to ensure that veterans had enough funds to cover medical, disability, education, and other benefits. The VA remains controversial, and there are many who feel that the VA needs to take much, much better care of today's veterans. That being said, it does exist, there is a structure, and hopefully they'll be doing better taking care of the vets. The core mission of the VA, most people believe that veterans should receive medical assistance when they come home, and that's what the VA is supposed to be doing. But the VA is just one of the major accomplishments of the Legion. The American Legion also played an instrumental role in the creation of the GI Bill. It was originally called the Servicemen's Readjustment Act. President Roosevelt signed it into law in the 1940s. The GI Bill was a game changer. Over the years, 8 million vets have used the GI Bill to continue their education. Even today, the GI Bill is a key means for talented young men and women to get an education that they might not otherwise be able to pay for. You might not be aware of it, but former President Bush signed into law something called the Post-9/11 Veterans Assistance Act. This upgraded and updated the original GI Bill. The parents or even grandparents of today's young warriors might have used the original GI Bill to get their college education, but bright young vets are still finding this helping hand hoisting them over the barrier, helping them to get that college degree. And here's a number that staggers me. By 2012, the VA guaranteed its 20 millionth home loan. I tend to think of the GI Bill of Rights more in terms of education and health, but when the GI Bill of Rights passed through Congress in 1944, it included educational benefits, health care assistance, and what the bill's proponents called, quote, readjustment allowances, unquote. Helping a vet own a home is part of the mix. Over the years, the American Legion has been involved in many causes. For example, the Legion has awarded over $11 million to children through the American Legion Child Welfare Foundation. The Legion has been a huge supporter of Boys State, which is an annual civic training for high school juniors. The Legion has long tried to help families of veterans who are deployed into action. Some of it sounds small, such as help mowing lawns and babysitting, but there's also financial assistance and counseling. The Family Support Network was also called to assist families after the terrorist attacks of 9/11. I could go on and on about the various amazing programs run by the Legion, including Operation Comfort Warriors. The Legion is actively fighting to help homeless veterans and to get better mental health programs in place, particularly for those vets suffering from PTSD. So when you walk past the little white building on Water Street, take a moment to think about what it means. Wars come and go, unfortunately, but I personally think it's excellent that there is an organization devoted to make life more successful for those who have fought for our country. You might despair over the wars, I know I do, but the young warriors deserve our support and compassion, and the older warriors deserve even more respect and compassion. Today's guest, Andy Okenczyk, is taking over as commander of the post July 20th. So, Andy, what is the scope of the American Legion from your vantage point?
Well, the American Legion is an organization of veterans. We're a veterans advocacy group, but we're also a place for veteran members to hang out, to work with the service officer for any VA things. In fact, you don't even have to be a member to get our service officer to help you with a VA claim, etc. And we just try to be a venue for different community things. We're not just about vets, but we're about providing a venue and just being involved in community things.
What's the scope of the American Legion nationally? Roughly how many members do they have nationally?
Well, we've got 2.4 million today, which is down from 3.1 million 20 years ago. The number's dwindling, unfortunately.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it is just technology and people's interest. Most organizations are dropping down in numbers today, but the vets, our primary membership today is World War II through Vietnam era. The younger vets they're starting to come on board, but I'm not sure that we're meeting their needs at this point.
So if there are younger vets out there listening to today's show, what do they need to do if they're interested? What should they do?
The best way for local vets to get on board is just to come down and ask for me or give us a call down there and I'll get back to them and get them joined up.
How many members do you have locally?
We've got just under 350 this year.
That's pretty good. You mentioned briefly that one of the things you do is help veterans navigate the VA. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, there's a lot of vets out there that either need to get on board with the VA medical claims or disability type things. Gary Lane, who is our current commander, outgoing commander, and he's also our service officer. He's been doing service officer work for a few years now. He'll help tremendously with filling out the forms, just getting things expedited through the system and following them through the system. It's a pretty complicated, convoluted thing.
Yeah, it sounds
unfortunately.
Like it. So in any given year, roughly how many vets would you help on that?
Just in excess of 150 was this last year, for instance.
So the post is named after Marvin Shields. I don't really know who Marvin Shields was. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, Marvin Shields was a Port Townsend native, a Gardner area. Actually, I think he lived out towards Gardner, but he went to Port Townsend High School. He was in the Seabees driving a bulldozer, I believe. He's a bulldozer operator, but they were overrun by Viet Cong. To say that he went over and above is really an understatement. He fought on through conditions that were just unbelievable. The story's out there on our monument in front of the Legion, the full story, and websites too, but he's quite a story. So, and he received the Medal of Honor.
Does he still have family in these parts?
He does, actually. Joan Bennett lives in Gardner, and his daughter passed away, daughter Barbara passed away a few years ago.
Okay, you're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm Marianne McNellis, and the show is called Our Town. Today I'm talking with Andy Okensik, who is the brand new commander of the American Legion Post here in town. We've been talking just now about Marvin Shields, the man, the hero, who the post is named after. We talked a little bit earlier about how the American Legion helps veterans go through the tangle of the VA, but what are some of the other activities that this post does?
Well, we have, we provide honor guards. In the last year, we've provided at least one honor guard per month over the last year. And what that consists of is the ceremony, flag ceremony, and a 3-rifle volley salute at the memorial or the grave site. This is provided for the deceased vets free of charge. It's simply for the asking.
So if you have a friend or relative who's a vet who has passed away, you can call and request this?
Absolutely. Yes, your membership isn't required. We will do this for you either way.
And you have a bugler too, right?
We do. Actually, we're very fortunate in the fact we have 2 buglers. We've got Rick Castellano from who now lives over in Whidbey, I believe, who comes over for any occasion where we need a bugler. And another excellent bugler is Mr. John Sweet, who just transferred over from the Midwest.
Well, I've never been to one of your graveside ceremonies, but I have been to the Memorial Day or Veterans Day ceremony down at the post. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. Well, we start out, by the way, with 3 cemetery ceremonies, which consist of our honor guard and our flags, starting with Fort Worden, then Laurel Grove, followed by St. Mary's. We have the 3 volley salute. The national anthem is sung, and usually there's a small speech in that by our chaplain and by our commander. Then that's followed by the coming back to the Legion, and at that point, the summer band usually has a half-hour start on us. But the ceremony starts at the Legion, and that consists of the summer band doing the all-services tune.
Yeah, which, that's very moving. What happens is, as they play, let's say, the Navy song, the Navy veterans will stand up, and the crowd applauds. I mean, it really makes me tear up every time I do it. And there's also the other one, the little table. Can you describe that?
Well, that's the prisoner of war, the POW MIA flag and table. And that ceremony consists of, and I don't have everything memorized at this point, but it's a table with a plate and a candle and a lemon. And each one of them symbolizes the vets who we've lost and who've been missing in action or prisoners of war and their hardship and our love for them.
Well, in addition to those sort of ceremonies, the Legion, the post here, does some really proactive community work. One of the things involves the homeless shelter in the winter. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The homeless shelter is actually run by Coast, which is a council that does a cooperative effort, along with OLECAP and a couple of other organizations, I believe. And it runs from November 1 to March 31st. Mm-hmm. And it provides, this last year, they provided an average of shelter for average of 25 people per night and 3,000 bed nights.
Well, it's open to both men and women, correct?
It is. It's primarily, our homeless problem tends to be primarily men, it seems like, but part of that is because the women who are homeless usually end up in other shelters also, like Dove House or such. There's also that.
So the shelter physically is underneath the post. And you rent the space to the group, but in terms of serving the meals and everything, that falls to each of the churches, right?
That's correct. The churches do, as I understand it, a week. They do it on a rotation. Each church picks a week, and they just do it on schedule. They also provide some of the monitoring too. I believe they have like one paid monitor and the rest is all volunteer.
Yeah, you know, I think it's remarkable, and it's so Port Townsend to have all these churches work together. You know, there's no competition or anything. They're each helping.
I attend the monthly meetings that they have, and it's just a total pleasure. And actually, I'm almost envious of how well they work and get things done.
Yeah, that's really a good thing.
Yes.
Now, speaking of other good things that this post does, tell me a little bit about the scholarships.
Well, this is our second year of offering scholarships. What I'm talking about is local scholarships, because the Legion also offers, on a national basis and a state basis, offers some scholarships. But we offer three scholarships locally for $1,000 each to graduating seniors from the Jefferson County high schools. It's not based upon the high school, it's strictly on a merit basis. So I'm not sure even which schools it came out of this year, but if you graduating from a Jefferson County High School, Quilcene, Chimicum, or Port Townsend, please submit a...
So any student can apply, right?
Any student can apply. In fact, I don't know that we wouldn't... We would certainly entertain for even from a homeschool graduating student if they're graduating and going on to college.
It's not strictly judged on academics, right?
No, it's academics certainly plays into it, but community service is also a key factor in that, and just how what your involvement is in the world.
That's good. And other activities at the Post, Boys State. Tell me about that.
Well, Boys State is a nationally sponsored or nationally started program. It's for boys between their junior and senior year. We sponsor, this year we were very fortunate in having 8 applicants that we were able to finance and sponsor for the Boys State, which Boys State is a simulation of governmental bodies, which includes everything from a community up to a federal level. They spend a week at Warren. In fact, in this case, in this Evergreen State is out at Warm Beach, which is, I believe, on Camino Island. And they spend a week of intense governmental simulation. So basically, they run for office. They enact laws. They have the pleasure or the pain of seeing how things work.
And I think it's supposed to be more how things should work, not necessarily how things are working in our political system, right?
I would hope so, yes. It's how things are supposed to work according to the applicable constitutions and laws. So, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, we're running pretty close on time here, but I did want to get in a few other things. You obviously host active military, when they come to town, they can come in, right, and meet the guys and girls.
Yeah, our doors are, we fall under Legion law, we fall under state law and federal law and liquor control board laws, which once again is state law, but we are open to members and guests and active duty military. Mm-hmm. So that includes the folks that come into Indian Island or any other active duty military are welcome.
Okay. Now, I've often noticed that the American Legion seems to be involved in a bunch of community events like the film festival. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We love the film festival. The film festival, I think it's a reciprocal thing. We offer the space. We've got a huge hall. We've got the only dance floor in forever. So we're happy to have the film festival. Centrum puts on, we're one of the venues for Centrum for the blues and jazz. Steampunk has the Kinetics are also out of the hall. Brewfest is Strange Brew, end of January, they do their thing. a lot of other things. People actually rent the hall occasionally for weddings or receptions or memorials.
Yeah, I didn't know that private groups could do that. I wasn't aware of that.
Well, we can do it within limits.
Yeah, yeah. Now, part of being, we've been talking about all the sort of do good things that the Legion does, but part of your membership must be about the camaraderie.
Right. It's, and we're there, you know, we have some vets that come in that PTSD is, you know, it's something that you don't talk about a whole lot, but sometimes there people just come in, you pretty much know that they're coming in just, if nothing else, just to be with their own, just to hang with their own. And it's not about, oh yeah, it's a bar. I mean, we do have a bar, but sometimes people just come in to be with people who live the same experience, and we're glad we can be there.
Well, I noticed that you have a pool table there and a big old fireplace.
And it's a very warm fireplace on those cold winter nights. And we do have a pool team that plays out of the Legion, and it gets some pretty good recognition in the county for some of, we've got some good pool shooters in our membership.
Really? Well, that's great. So there's fun too, right?
Yes, there is.
Okay, you're about to take over as commander of the Port Townsend American Legion post. So, Andy, are any thoughts you'd like to share about things you might like to do in the upcoming year?
Well, I'm still exploring the what I'm trying to do. One of the things is come up with ways and somehow make us more appealing to the younger vets, the upcoming vets, and, you know, make the Legion more viable long term.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And thank you, listeners, for listening. This is Mary Ann McNellis. The show is called Our Town. I have been interviewing Andy Okensic, who is about to take over as commander of the American Legion Post, the Marvin Shields Post number 26. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Mary Ann McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.